Well, hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching this on YouTube, you see I have a little guest with me today. And for those who aren't, I have Miss Amaria Rayan on here with me today. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're just going to get right into it and just give a little intro of who you are.
Well, I'm Amaria Rayan, as you just said. Yeah. Okay, got that out of the way. Woo! I am an actress, director, writer, producer, stage manager. Like, I've done all of the artsy things in acting. So it's kind of like, especially because my first film, that was, so I like directed it, I wrote it, I produced it, all of it. So also editing. I've also edited a lot of things too. But I just want to, I'll just be like, I'm an actress.
Okay, all that.
But that's what I really love to do is act.
Okay, well, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah, flex, but okay. Yeah. Your whole experience. I was like, okay, keep going.
What do I do?
You can do in production, pre, post, or during. You're doing it, or you have done it at one point, which is iconic.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because when it comes to, like, your own projects, you know, you, like, have kind of a control. You know what I mean? Like, you want, they're your baby. You know what I mean? So, like, I tend to try to just take as much control as I can unless I need to outsource it. Mm-hmm. And then I do the, you know, outsourcing. Mm-hmm. But if I can do most of it, I will do most of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way with the podcast.
Yeah,
so true. It's a production in its own.
Yeah.
It's not like one you see getting awards and stuff, but actually now there are, I think. It's become more of a thing.
Like
podcasts, the big ones, you know?
Really? There's awards?
There's like a little thing. I know Call Her Daddy got some. I'm a big Call Her Daddy girl.
I don't know. I don't even know that podcast, though.
You know what? It's not for everyone. It's super controversial.
Okay.
I believe, because they're based, well, it started off with two girls. They had this whole blow up fight. They no longer are together, so now they have two separate podcasts. But one of the girls kept the Call Her Daddy name.
Okay.
Because of, like, all the stuff going on.
Wow.
And I love them both still. I still don't know. I don't pick a side because I love them both. Like my sister, like my big sisters I never had. Like, I'm not going to pick a side, but I do support both of them still. Yeah. But they got an award of being like a health and wellness podcast, which is funny because all they do is talk about like how to give the best blowjobs and like how to empower yourself as a woman.
Okay.
I mean, it's a lot of empowerment. I think they are the first platform of women who made talking about like sex and all those things a comfortable, like, a positive.
Yeah,
They don't slut shame, they don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
They actually encourage that lifestyle. Or they did. Now it's a lot more healthy. It's a lot more healthy now because the girl's, like, engaged and the whole thing.
We're not endorsing.
Anyways, side note, they definitely were a big inspiration for me starting the pod because I think they were the first platform of women who, like, just spoke their truth, and they got a lot of hate for it, but also so much love for it.
Yeah.
And they've been around since, like, 2017 or 18, so it's been pretty cool to, like, grow up with them in my, like, prime years. My college years, I wanted to ask you, though, because I feel like you would like this topic if you did or didn't. Did you know about or watch the movie Priscilla?
No.
Did you either?
I know about it. You're talking about the new one.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. I knew about it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Yet. I haven't even seen the Elvis movie with
Austin Butler.
Yes. Okay. I almost said Gerard Butler, and I was like, no, that's another guy. He's attractive. That's another guy.
Okay. I asked because I watched it last night, so it's like fresh in my head. So it's about Priscilla Presley, but It's a woman director, so it's from the woman's lens, from a woman POV.
Coppola, right?
So that's amazing. We love that.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone loves Elvis. We know Elvis by his first name as Elvis.
Yeah.
I love that they named her just Priscilla, the movie.
Instead of like...
Because Priscilla Presley. Yeah. Like, it's just Priscilla. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like, what else do I need to know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
that was iconic for me. I don't love that it's literally getting, like, not a lot of media attention. But it's not because it's about a woman speaking her truth.
Well, here's the thing, too, is, like, I think, isn't there a lot of controversy surrounding it, though? Because, like, the Presleys were kind of divided on I read a little bit of a story about that.
About
where,
the movie?
Yeah, about the movie, about like how it depicts Elvis or something.
Well, probably
like,
because
he wasn't a good guy.
He was 24.
Yeah, and he was not a good guy.
Like 14-year-old.
Yeah, and he's not a good guy, okay?
So, I mean, I don't know how he abused her mostly, physically. He did all the things.
Yeah.
So sorry, the truth is coming out, essentially, is what it is.
No, because Lisa Marie Presley was actually, before she died, she was like begging Sofia Coppola not to like do it. Not to do it because she was like,
damn,
this is filled with all this filth and whatever. Don't quote me on this. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not, this is not in quotations. I don't know if she said this legitimately. I just know it's,
paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing it. Okay. I don't ask for my sources right now. But yeah, and Sofia was like, well, I'm still gonna do it.
This is her story.
Yeah, and Sofia was like, I'm still gonna do it. And Priscilla was obviously okay with it because she was like very in the process of that movie. So I haven't even seen the movie, but I know all the backstory, which is so weird.
But
so like me though. I'm like, okay.
I should have IMDb'd like trivia at it before I talked about it today.
Yeah.
But it's just so in my brain, like I can't get over it for many reasons. The biggest thing is I want to talk about it so it's talked about, because guys, go fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Give them some box office love. Despite any of that, we love a woman speaking her truth, no matter who it offends.
Well, I mean, Hollywood likes to romanticize the guy's point of view,
of
but not the female. So
and
that kind of, especially if you're talking about a very well-loved,
iconic
person, and you're kind of showing things about them that are not
pretty.
And they're not romanticized either. So, like,
you
know, because Hollywood likes to romanticize drug usage,
you
know, but in this movie, they probably aren't romanticizing the fact that he had issues. You know what I mean? They're just saying he had issues.
And I actually think it was even, they didn't even make it that bad. Like, they could have made it worse.
Yeah.
With, like, what we know on paper of, like, what occurred. It could have been worse.
Right.
But they also, I could tell, had some, like, it was more focused on Priscilla. You know, and her, you could tell she was trying to stand up for herself. When she tried to speak up, he would scream at her. He would physically hurt her in some way. Like, there were things where she just couldn't fully speak up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually, when she left, the last line she said, I'm like, I don't want to ruin it.
Okay,
like,
no,
it's
no,
so iconic. Obviously, we know, like, in real life, she ends up leaving him. But she left him after the fucking 20, 30 years worth of shit.
Yeah.
And it was it was just the way it ended was so beautiful. Like, it's teary-eyed. It was very powerful. And it just spoke, I think, it really represents a lot of, I mean, men feel this way too, but it's not as spoke about as much from how women have to deal with this every day.
Yeah. And also talks about how, like, just oddly celebrated those illegal age differences are.
Well,
you know,
I'm like, it's hard
like,
to be
I didn't
mad
know
because
that.
I didn't know that either, number one.
I didn't know she was so young.
She was literally, just for context, she was 14.
You never hear about that.
She was 14 years old. She was in ninth grade. Probably didn't even have her period yet. Ninth grade. They didn't fuck or anything until she was, like, of age. Because, like, he has boundaries.
He has boundaries. Did she move in with him, too?
She moved in with
like,
him by
16.
Like,
she moved in with him. Yeah, what
she
the hell?
She had to finish school. And it's hard, though, as a parent. If fucking Elvis Presley hits me up, I'm not going to be like, no. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get canceled. Now I'm talking all this shit. I have empathy for the parents. It's hard. If it's fucking Justin Bieber calls my mom and it's like, hey, I want Alyssa, my mom's not going to tell him no. Okay? Despite all the tea, all the drama, the Bieber and Selena love, despite everything, she's not going to say no. Granted, I'm an adult now. It's a different experience.
Yeah.
But it's hard in that state. Like, in that, I can't imagine the parents' POVs. And for Priscilla's POV, if I'm going to ninth grade knowing I was hanging out with Elvis last night.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, true.
Like, I would never want to go back, you know?
Yeah.
So another thing.
Yeah, and that was probably part of the whole allure of him, too. You know, that was probably why she was very kind of like, I hate to use the term groomed because I don't want to, like, accuse that.
I know.
But you know what
I
mean?
Watch, you get
it's
it.
Like, it's easier to be groomed and, like, taken advantage of, or like not even as much taken advantage of as just like lured into a relationship that wasn't really good for you when you have that like, oh my gosh, he's, you know, whatever, and you're young and you're naive and, you know, that kind of thing.
I think it happens more than we know, more than we would like to admit. I'm sure in some ways it happened to me in life, not saying I was ever groomed, but I'm sure I like thought someone was amazing even though it wasn't a healthy experience, you know? Despite any of this, I think, well, he gave her, like, he started giving her pills at 14 to stay up in class because she would fall asleep from partying with him the night before. And you don't know that because it's her POV of what she saw.
like, just be like, okay, maybe she shouldn't party with you then. Like, I don't understand. It's like, it's so stupid. It's like, but we do that in general, right? Yeah, we're like, I don't need more sleep. I just need more caffeine. Literally. No, bitch, you need more sleep.
Yeah, until your body shuts down. There was one time he gave her a drug to go to sleep. She was 14 or 15, and she was now knocked out for 2 days because she's a little fucking girl taking these drugs. Oh my you know what
gosh,
I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm explaining the whole movie. It just was so crazy to watch. And it's also so pretty. Oh, my God. First of all, how could you be mad at the fucking actor playing Elvis? He's the hottest man I've ever seen. Jacob Elordi or some shit. He's from Euphoria.
Okay.
Okay, I'm literally doing it. I'm, like, blushing. While she's knowing she's a fucking 14-year-old that he's, like, schmoozing.
But I was like,
you know what? She's using her resources. She's capitalizing on this experience. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeous, too. And, of course, you know, in real life, then you know they're not that age. So you feel like, okay, they're actually really cute together.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's also, you in your head, you know it's a movie and not. Even if it's, like, based on true events and stuff, you know it's not actually happening in real time with two real people who are actually, you know, you're not.
It's a little separated.
Yeah, you can separate it a little bit. You know that.
And
so.
Last thing, their fashion was just amazing. It was 50s, 60s, and really 70s. Cool. Yeah. I think I'm going to be her 70s version for Halloween next year.
Oh,
the purple dress.
Oh,
the purple, like, iconic purple
moment. Yeah. Yeah.
And she has the middle part in the 70s. And she has the long hair.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is she started, you know how she has her black hair and her wing and everything? Mm-hmm. That was because he told her, I need you to, you know, make your hair darker and start wearing more eye makeup. And, like it's because of him that she, like, changed her whole appearance.
Like, had that look but, that you kind of know her for.
I mean,
for
she looked like a rock star. Like, she fit him. You know? So it's just crazy. And, again, I wouldn't have said no. I know myself. Like, so I'm not hating on her, not hating on the experience. I'm just saying it's great that it's being acknowledged nowadays. Yeah. And it's not being glamorized anymore.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
Oh, sorry, that was a lot. I didn't think I was going to talk about that for that long, but I just had to let it out. I feel
okay,
like
I kind of aided in that,
it's
so it's fine.
Yeah, you did enable me a little bit.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I think you should watch it. Let me know your thoughts.
Okay,
I think
watch
you would
it,
have
yeah.
a more, like, interesting POV, like, just now that you, like, because obviously you know, like, you know, Hollywood and movies and stuff like that. So it'll just be cool to see. But again, it's nice to see a woman's POV, regardless.
True. True. Very true.
Okay. Let's get back to the real shit, okay? Side note, let's get back to what we're talking about here today. The question I need to ask you before we get started is, what era are you in?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Okay, so.
That's good. No, this is the first time. Let's talk.
Obviously, I know what era means because I read the dictionary. Like, I'm not an idiot. But what do you, like, what point in life are you at? Is that basically what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's, like, usually just, like, a word or, like, a phrase. So, like, I don't know. I mean, my TikTok and my Instagram is all about, like, villain era or, like, your soft girl era, like, different versions of that. So they say, like, when a woman, like, for example, like, a woman getting out of a relationship and she's back and finding her power, it's, like, villain era. And, like, and villain is, like, a positive, I mean, for me, it's a positive word. Okay. If you're, like, trying to go back to, like, being, like, you know, like, a softer girl, maybe more feminine and not being all, like, raw, you know?
Okay.
It's more of, like, oh, her soft girl era. It's, but there's different phrases. It depends on where you are in life. I had guests say different things, too.
Interesting. I got to keep up with all this lingo nowadays, bro. Like, I need, like, a laminated terminology card.
Oh, my God.
That could be like, okay, that's what the fuck that means.
Every few
that's
months, it'll change. Means. It'll need to be updated.
Oh, my gosh. I remember when, like, yeet was a thing and that got weird. I was like, what the hell? I remember when someone first, I'm sorry, I'm going on a little tangent. I remember when someone first said they referred to someone as goat. They were like, oh, my gosh, they're a goat. And I'm like, what? The fuck?
How do you get to
are you
goat?
Talking about? I didn't realize it was an acronym, you know, for I was like, you're calling someone a goat. That cannot be what that means. Like, are you, because they're cute. I mean, goats are cute. I'm not going to lie. But, like, are you saying they make weird noises? Are you saying they're, like, really hyper and they jump on things? Like, what are you? And then I realized what it meant. And I was like,
so funny.
Wow. But I would rather just be called, you're the greatest of all time, and not go. You know what I mean? And that's why acronyms are weird.
That is hilarious.
I would rather be called that than goat. But that's just my opinion, you know, because millennial.
I think you are my first millennial. My mom's Gen X.
Okay.
But you're my first millennial, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
So a good millennial POV, Gen Z millennial, sit down.
Gen
have
Z
a
millennials, yeah. Okay, era. I don't know, the first thing that goes in my head, that doesn't make sense, goes through my head, is Driven, So I guess I'm in my driven area. Like, I've always been very, like, I've always been very driven, but even more so now, I've been, like, hit the ground running.
Cool.
More so than ever, I feel like. Like, not second guessing things.
Great. Yeah.
Excuse me. Not second guessing things and just being like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Yeah. And I'm going to, like, get it done. I'm going to start it. I'm going to get it done. Not doubting myself on whether I can do it or not. Kind of like with the film fest. And
yeah,
all that.
I thought of that.
I co-founded a film fest called the Breakout Film Festival, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Keep on the lookout for that next year. But it was kind of like as soon as that happened, like through the process of that. And then after that, I was like, okay, wow, there are all these things I can legitimately do. Like, I should not be doubting myself. I should just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And so I started doing it. So I, like, and there are all these things I'm, like, working on, you know, concurrently. You
Amazing.
Know, like a book. I have a children's book
what?
That I wrote that I'm, yeah, that I'm working on.
What's, like, the vibe of it?
It's, okay, so it is about learning to have flexibility in thinking.
Okay.
And, like, not being a perfectionist.
That's great.
Because a lot of the children that I've people I've encountered, you know, have a hard time being like, oh, this isn't working out the way I want.
Mm-hmm.
But look, that option is also still good. Like, things don't have to be perfect to be right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, so it's a children's book. And it'll be on Amazon pretty soon because I'm actually doing the whole, I'm working on. There's this whole thing you have to fill out to publish on Amazon, y'all. So give me a second. But
would you say what it's called right now?
Yeah, it's called Oliver and His Tough Decision.
Aw, that's so pure. Yeah. Do you do the drawings and everything?
So shout out to Haley Casburn. she just started college.
Okay.
She is like 18.
Amazing.
And a cutie pie. And she, okay, so I guess precursor to that is every project I do, it's one of the reasons why the Breakout Film Festival was like such a big thing that I wanted to be a part of and co-founded, you know, is the fact that I wanted to get newer people in the fields that they love. You know what I mean? Because I feel like so many people don't have that in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even sometimes feel that I don't even have an in already. You know what I mean? Like that's it. But so when I needed an illustrator, I contacted her and I was like, girl, I'll pay you. Like, could you illustrate my book for me? And she has a specific, really unique mixture of like anime and also like animation illustrate style that looks really good on the book. So she illustrated the entire thing. And I actually have more books lined up that I've already finished that I just need to publish. And so she's going to illustrate those too. More kids' books. Yeah.
That is so
amazing. And Oliver's an octopus, by the way.
Oh,
he goes to a shoe store. He's an octopus and he goes to a shoe store and he wears a top hat and he's really adorable. He's really fashionable.
Oliver the octopus.
Yeah.
So
cute. So I think driven era is like anything that I want, I'm really not going to let anything hold me back. I've even shut out people. That sounds so harsh, but like people who tell you something negative, you know, or like, oh, well, maybe you can't do that. Oh, that's too much. Or, oh, let's do this. I've like totally shut those people out.
And
I wouldn't do that before because I didn't want to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't listen to them, but I wouldn't straight up not take it.
Yes.
I'd be like, okay, whatever. You can tell me that, but I'm not going to. But at this point in time, I'm like, can you keep your opinions to yourself? Thanks.
Yeah, you have time for that.
I just don't even want to hear it.
And that's so valid.
And I think, so that is my era right now, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great era.
Okay, good.
Thank you. That's the test of what era am I in. That's a great era. That's a great one. That's okay. Also, whenever you post the books or anything, like, obviously, I'll share it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and also, because we got to, like, support each other, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially since we're, like, we're not like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie up in this bitch. You know what I mean? So we're not. I mean, I feel that way.
I feel like Angelina every day.
I feel like Brad.
That's
minus the cheating, though. Like, minus, like, all that other stuff. I feel like, I'm going to, like, take care of this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? But, like, I'm not. Guys, I'm not a dude. But also, I'm not, like, famous, you know? But my point
is that. Just kidding.
No, you're good. Like a sidetrack here. My point is that the community is so small, but at the same time big.
Yes.
But like when you meet other people in the industry, I think I love seeing other people support other people, even if they're not necessarily like their friend. They just know them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like always plugging their stuff or always trying to help. And I'm like, that's so cool to like not have people look at other people as like, oh, you're competition. I don't want to support you. And instead be like, hey, we're kind of like, we want us all to be recognized for our gifts and, you
passions
know.
And stuff.
So I think that's really cool. So I appreciate
totally agree.
That.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big thing, especially, like you said, this industry can be really ugly really fast if you don't, like, nurture it properly or, like, also give out that good energy. So I totally agree. I think it's great. I'd much rather have the people in my circle this past year, especially when I've really kind of gotten all my creative energy out.
Yeah.
People who met me with where I am today, which is in the healthier, like, more excited and more just creative, like, mindset. Like, you know, creating content and not caring about what people say about it. And, like, all that stuff is a big
that's
deal.
Hard.
It's really hard.
That's so
hard. I mean, even being here, making a podcast, doing my solo episode, like, that could have turned out so bad. And maybe people think it did. And that's totally okay because those are my people. You
that's,
know?
But that's the thing, too, is I think that's a really big lesson to learn is you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea or bag of chips or whatever the like metaphor
chips.
Is.
I
don't know. Like, type of
no, you're not.
I don't know. Like, you're not.
Of course.
I prefer the echinacea lemon.
Breezers or whatever are my favorites.
Those are good.
They taste like candy.
They do taste like candy. I like the echinacea lemon one.
I haven't tried those, but maybe.
Because I really love herbs.
Okay.
So I just like the taste of them. It's kind of weird.
So yeah, not... Oh. So being comfortable knowing you aren't going to be everyone's favorite
is
okay.
Yes, and that's okay.
There's
and
like
that
10
is...
billion people in this world. Like, but, we're going to be okay.
And that's a lesson that you really need to learn and comes with maturity.
Yeah.
To be like, it's okay if you're rejected. It doesn't mean, like, that's okay. And that people have the right to reject you.
Yeah.
Like, people have the right to not like you or to not like what you're doing. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's to not let that affect you negatively. Mm-hmm. To just be like, oh, okay, that's fine. That's cool. I mean, there are people I don't vibe with.
Yeah.
But it's not because I hate them. It's just because we just don't.
You're
click.
Vibing.
And that's okay.
Totally.
I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Like, that's okay. You know?
Yeah. And I think that I think is a good way of putting it. Once you, like, mature and, like, kind of grow up or grow out of that mindset, it's a lot healthier, too.
Because
if you can't please everybody,
especially
in this industry.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All you do is get rejected on auditions and, you know what I mean? It's just not healthy if you are waiting on that, like, approval always.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I did want to touch base on some other things that I like to talk about on the pod. I'm sure you can imagine is, you know, the life of dating and relationships and all the things.
Yeah.
Obviously, only share what you're comfortable. But I just first wanted to ask you, what was, like, the biggest lesson you learned in your, like, early years of dating?
So.
Like, what would you tell your like, 21-year-old self or something, you know?
That's a good question. I just burped while I was thinking. That was so weird.
I saw
it. Did you see it, like, in my throat? Did you see it move? It was like, bum, 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 bum.
I saw you, like, ponder.
My throat was, like, twerking. It was like, bum, 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 bum. That was so weird. I was like, tw, tw, tw. Okay.
That's hilarious.
I don't know what the hell. You know what? I think, okay. You know what? Okay. And this is something that I think is, like, a huge thing, but a lot of people don't want to admit, probably.
Okay.
Is... For me, learning to look at what I could have done better.
Okay. That's great.
That's that. And because, like, I would, and I mean, people in this boat, because you're always the hero in your own story,
yes.
right? That is the thing. And not that you should put blame on yourself or blame isn't due or that you should carry it around all guilt and, like, not get over it, not forgive yourself or whatever. And I haven't done anything, like, horrible. I don't want to put a disclaimer, like, I've been cheated or something. Like, don't start thinking, oh, my gosh, Amaria has a past like that. but, like, looking at relationships in any capacity as, okay, I already see how that person affected me. Mm-hmm. But thinking about how I affected that person. And I think that's the biggest lesson, like, in retrospect for myself, which was a difference in my, like, you know, earlier dating and then later on would be like, okay, that person was a total dick. Okay, got it. We already know that. I already know that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How could I helped that situation better? Did I, like, what can I take out of that relationship that I maybe could have done better and bring that to a different one and be like, okay. You know what I mean? Because there's always something you could have done better at, usually, you know?
I agree. I think that's a good POV that obviously when I got out of my, like, long-term relationship over a year ago, I was like, okay, now I know what I'm not going to accept anymore, what I'm not going to put up with.
Right, right.
But then also it's like, well, what did I do that instigated to that? Because I'm sure he got out of that and was like, dude, fuck a lot of shit that I probably did. And that is A-okay. Like, again, it's his truth, you know? And I'm saying my truth and my POV. So... totally. I think that's a big deal, especially if you are aiming for, like, a healthy relationship. I could name many things that I also know I either enabled or that I did that weren't, that wasn't what I would encourage myself to do again.
Yeah,
like,
and that's totally. And that's very mature to be like, yeah, man, I could have done that better.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also like, okay, we both, like, fucked up in that situation. We both didn't handle that properly. But again, it's the growing pains. It's being young.
Right,
it's being naive
and
all that stuff. So I'd say it's something I'm, like, losing sleep over on either spectrum of, like, what I did or what he did. But it is a thing that's, like, just good to know when those patterns come up again. Because they will come up again.
You have to be,
if you aren't aware of it, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this thing in psychology called, like, rewriting the narrative.
Okay.
I don't know if you know about that. It's like anything that you realize that triggers you or that you know about yourself, you know? So when you see something that triggers a response in you that may not be a healthy one, like that may not be something that is going to help that relationship, you take a moment and you look at it from an outlook, like from an outsider looking in, and you rewrite the way you would like that to turn out.
Okay.
And then you try to, like, practice rewiring your narrative
That's
and your
amazing.
Brain to like re to like not get stuck in the same pattern that you normally do all the time. So
that's great. I don't know that term, but I love that, and it's a good one to know. I kind of look at it as like being self-aware, but I guess I don't know the like tools of like, okay, you're self-aware now, like what can we do next?
Exactly. And those are like the steps that that you
that's really
do to
good.
Like
because you have a psychology background. Do you have anything else you think relationships should know or, like, I mean, so many. I know. I don't have all day. But, like, is there, like, one or two, like, key, like, because I learned something that I can talk about in the psychology realm and communications realm. But, like, do you have something that, like, you feel like you are taking into every relationship now?
I have something that bothers me that I find very detrimental to relationships in general. And it's a thing that goes around. Don't hate me, because I know this gets said a lot.
What is it?
This whole idea of, I see it all over. It's like, what did he bring to the table? Or what did she bring to the table? Okay, I hate that term.
Okay.
And the reasoning behind that, if you are looking at someone as what they can do for you or what they bring to a relationship, you're automatically self-sabotaging that relationship, right? I hate to use the term of like, it's not what your country could do for you, but it's what you could do with your for your country. But like, that's not, but it's along the same lines of like,
it's a broader scale.
Yeah, you're not, if you're literally looking at somebody as what can that person do for me?
Okay.
Or what can that person do in a relationship with me? It's a very self-centered point of view. And then that person's never going to measure up because you're not looking at what can I bring to this relationship? What can I do to, again, I'm all about like, you know, introspective, you know, and like knowing, okay, hold on a second. I'm always thinking about how can this person serve me? How can they do this for me? How can they do this for me, right? So so I hate that term because of that, because it always, every time I hear it, it's always implying or just out and out, overtly so, just being like, hey, I'm looking at this person as what they bring to the table instead of being like, okay, hold on, what can I bring to the table? And then we kind of address if they're matching it.
And then that goes with accountability.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not, okay, what do they bring to the table? Like, hold on, well, what do you bring to the table? You know what I mean? And I think that's where our sexes are kind of like battling each other too right now in that whole thing of they're always like, well, what are you doing for me? Well, what are you doing for me? Well, bitch, what are you doing for each other?
Period.
Like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, seriously, if there's only like, if I'm coming to you be like, okay, how much food are you going to put on this motherfucking table? Then there's only going to be food on half the table anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
one. So it's not really going to have dinner.
Visual.
Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
We're still going to be hungry.
We're still going to be hungry. Someone's still not going to eat.
Wow.
Like, so that just bothers me. And I see that so much. I'm like, oh, I hate it so much. I see it, like, all these, like, you know, on social media and stuff. And on the memes, I'm like, oh, my gosh, no. But, yeah, so that's, and also goes back to psychology, too. If you're looking at relationships to do something for you, you're never going to be fulfilled because nobody can ever just do, like, they can't, if you're always looking at them, you're always going to fall short. Like, it's always going to fall short because mm-hmm. you're always going to be like, well, they're not bringing enough. Well, then where does the enough or the not, where does it start and where does it end? Yeah. You know what I mean? So that whole, like, mentality of that just is not, like, healthy to relationships at all, you know? And even when you talk about social roles, okay, like, you know, roles in relationships, right? Like, some things work for people and some things work, like, if a certain type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, division of, like, the things in your household or whatever, okay. or your, like, your duties or whatever. You want to just talk about, like, that way. Sometimes, you know, one person is going to have to pick up the slack of the other person. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, that happens. That's a natural flow of relationships. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because no one's going to be bringing completely half to the table all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. And I think we kind of get caught up in this whole thing of like, oh my gosh, you're in a moment where you can't bring half to the table, therefore you're out. And it's like, well, think about this for a second. Wouldn't you like somebody to fill the table for you if you weren't able to bring half to the table at that moment in time? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just kind of a...
And it's like a compromise and stuff.
Yeah.
I think because obviously, well, that's good. I learned that more recently in the terms of like, I was like, I think a healthy relationship is equal. 100, mm-hmm. you know, 50-50, 100%. But I also acknowledge that's not realistic.
Exactly.
Because not only the, not power dynamics, but there's different dynamics every day. Mm-hmm. If today I have a show at 5 p.m., I'm a hot fucking mess. I'm going to be a bitch. I'm going to be in a rush. I'm going to be running late. I'm going to need help. So that my partner is going to have to step up more to make sure I'm good. And just to help me and, like, assist me. Mm-hmm. If the next day he has a fucking speech, okay, then that day's about him. And it's his speech day.
Right.
So what are we doing to help him? You know what I mean? And I think that I was so, like, skewed on, like, no, a healthy relationship is equal. 50-50.
Yeah.
And I did not think of the, like, legitimate.
Yeah.
The legitimate.
Yeah.
The legitimacy of that and what that looks like in a day-to-day life with someone who you're actually going to be with. You know?
Right. Well, and then even look at it, too. Like, even look at, like, would you want to be with somebody who would only put 50%. Yeah. Like, who would only be half, right? So, like, just think about it for a second. If they're like, you know what? No, this is where my 50% is, bitch. Like,
that's like, honestly, a humbling good. Thought.
So if you think about that, then you're like, yeah, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. That doesn't make sense because a relationship isn't, okay, I've met my quota for the day. Mm. We're good. We're equal. It's, oh, okay, I see something that needs to get done. I'm going to do it.
Oh my God, is and you appreciate so it
and you know what I mean and that's I like to talk about this too in a psychology thing I guess I don't know
this is great
is the difference between compliance and cooperation right so like I feel like so many people look at relationships as compliance like you do it because you love me or you do it because I said so and you love me so therefore you do what I say right
okay.
not cooperation, which is, hey, we have an issue. Let's talk about it and cooperate because we both love each other to fix it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And like compliance is you do what the person says because of who they are, no matter what. Cooperation is together we solve a problem.
Yeah.
Compliance is not for adult relationships. It's for when you're trying to raise a child and you can't risk them walking into the street to learn not to get hit by a fucking car. Because you can't learn if you're dead. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's compliance. Cooperation is, okay, we are both on the same level here. Mm-hmm. We cooperate. I'm not your child. You're not my child.
Yeah.
I don't want compliance from you. I want cooperation.
Uh-huh.
So that's...
Oh, my God. That is all so good. I'm like, can we make a separate episode of just, like, how everything? This is so good. I mean, we just got a good, like, 20 minutes of that. That was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I
could talk about this stuff all day,
bro. I feel like I just learned so much. You also, like, validated things I've been... figuring out on my own, but you put words into, like, you made it like a structure. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
Which was really nice for me to hear as well, just in life. And those are good reminders because I never thought of the compliance versus cooperation, like POV either.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was so good. That was great. I love that so much. That was like a high. No, seriously, that was amazing. That's gonna speak to so many people because like I don't think people. As people, I'm people also, like not just everyone. I don't think that we take time to like look at it from like an outside POV. Because mm-hmm. when you're in it, you're fucking in it, mm-hmm. you know. And you it's hard to like leave space for like other POVs mm-hmm. and to be aware of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, especially more recently, if I'm aware of something that's going wrong in like a relationship, I make it a joke. I acknowledge it. Oh, I'm self-destruction. I'll allow it to happen. Until, you know, one day I wake up and I'm like, this is not for me, you know? And it's, like, cute and playful, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. Like, in the long run, how long is the joke going to be funny, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So that was cool to hear, for sure. I think the biggest thing I learned in the world of that was in my communications class, mm-hmm. and it's a term called red carding. Have you heard of that? It might be in a different way
okay.
in psychology world.
Explain but what you mean.
Basically, this professor of mine changed my entire relationships and how I look at every relationship and how I... The moment I learned it, I left and called and texted people and, like, fixed it because I didn't know I was doing it. So basically what she said red carding is when, let's say, for example, I'm dating somebody and we've been dating and he cheated on me, okay? And I know he cheated on me. Let's say he cheated on me 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I found out he cheated on me. We had a fight. I was mad at him, but I didn't break up with him, so I stayed with him. With staying with him, I forgave him, and I said, okay, I'm going to forgive you. You apologize. I believe you now. I believe you're going to do better, so I'm going to give you the space to do better, and I'm just going to let it, you know, carry on. Mm-hmm. So now we're dating. 6 months go by since he cheated on me. Things have been fine, but let's say I'm at the mall, and a girl looks at him a wrong way or like some stupid shit. Mm. And then I'm, or if he gets a text from a friend who's a girl and I'm like, oh, well, what is that? And then if he's like, well, why are you scared? Why are you nervous? It's just my best friend or it's just a friend from 10 years ago, whatever. And I'm like, well, you cheated on me. So no shit, I'm going to be scared. So now something that I already forgave him for, mm-hmm. I am now bringing up. Yeah. As throwing it in his face, as even though it happened 6 months ago, uh-huh. and I forgave him for uh-huh. it. So now he's confused. What do you mean? I thought you forgave me. Like we moved past this. We've been together mm-hmm. for 6 more months now. Mm-hmm. We've been better than ever, actually, because mm-hmm. now we're working on each other and on ourselves since the little mishap. So I'm red carding him, so it's like having the like yeah. red card in the back pocket. And whenever I think I'm being attacked, or whenever I want to show I have the power, I pull out the red card and I'm like, well, no, you cheated on me. So I don't care if it happened 6 years ago. You cheated on me 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have a whole ass life and a family together. Who like we yeah. gotta move on.
Yeah.
And I think that my professor said that red carding is the absolute most destructive thing you can do in a relationship, and that will never ever end in a healthy, happy way. If you still red card. And I know people, I've done it, I can name relationships, I know of currently that do it, and it's a thing, it's a natural human response. Mm-hmm. Something happens, you get triggered, you get sad, but you forgive them, you keep them, and then when you're with them for X amount of years, no matter what, it's your biggest trigger. Mm-hmm. But in theory, I forgave him, so he's mm-hmm. actually confused. What do you mean? I thought we were all good.
Yeah.
And it's like a weird thing, but I didn't realize, even in little daily tasks, not even cheating was an extreme example, it could be daily moments. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, but you forgot a month ago my favorite drink or whatever, something mm-hmm. stupid. And in a sense, it's kind of like holding a grudge in a weird way, mm-hmm. but also if you have the conversation, you guys forgive each other, mm-hmm. you have no right to bring it up again.
Yeah. It's also, yeah, no, that's definitely a huge, yeah.
And you have a right to bring it up again, but then, okay, break up with him or be done with it.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm 6 months later, like, fuck, I can't. I know I said I'm sorry, and I know I forgave you, but I still think about it every day, and mm-hmm. I don't want to hold it against you when you've been doing good. So yeah. I have to leave now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because then it becomes a you problem.
Yes, at that point. That's what
you said. It's
exactly.
a you problem. That's not you're having anything to do with him anymore, yes. because if you already addressed it, mm-hmm. you already moved past it, and he's not doing anything, mm-hmm. but yet you are. You're the one who's carrying that with you. So, yeah that's not. It's also coming to the line of, coming to play too, of like, you know, as humans, we naturally want to win.
Yes.
Like this kind of a, you know, and so when you're in an argument and they bring up something that has nothing to do with the freaking argument, but it's another example of the red card theory, you know? It's like, hey, but remember when you like didn't make my bologna sandwich or whatever? Like, I don't know. And they're like, what? We're talking about the keys. Like, where are the keys? Yes. All I asked you was, where are the keys? What the hell? Like, what's going on? But that's another thing. It's because we're like, no, I want to win this freaking argument at all costs. So I'm even going to bring mm-hmm. things irrelevant in there so that we can argue about that. And then I win the argument because you just quit because you're just so confused and also irritated.
And then now it's like, well, how am I going to fight that if we're talking about the keys?
Yeah, exactly. Is now that, I can't go back to the original argument because it's, and that's... Yeah. No, that is definitely a big thing. You see that all the time. Yeah. That's so dangerous. Yeah. But that's the thing too, is like, I feel like I don't sincerely feel like you can forgive and forget. I think that is natural.
You always keep it
in the back of your head. But that's normal, though. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if a guy cheated on you, right, it's like if you make the decision that you want to stay with that person and you're like, okay, I want to forgive them because I love them and I do want to stay with them. Mm-hmm. I sincerely believe they won't do it again. Okay. And then it's normal, though, to like have that be a little bit of a trigger throughout your life a little bit. Because when something happens to you, mm-hmm. it can't not be. You know what I mean? Because you still have that memory. No one took that memory away, right? But it's how you react to that, which is the biggest thing. So it's like, okay, so if I see, you know, a guy, you know, looking at a different girl, I make it that emotional jerk of like, oh my gosh, what? And then I need to like take a second and I need to breathe and I need to be like, hold on. This is my like emotional reaction to something that isn't actually happening.
Yes.
It's based on a previous thing that already happened.
It's like my unhealed parts
coming back. Yeah. And it's like, but I just need to work through this for a second and be like, okay, hold on, you know. And I think like with practice, I think it'll get better if you continue to not feed
that
a little
bit. And if the person is also doing their part of making you feel secure.
Yeah, yeah.
In that sense, like, too. So if he's still being a little fuckboy going out, like, there's reasons to still be like, fuck, like, I don't trust him.
Well, yeah.
But like, if he's making a genuine, or he or she, whoever it is, if they're making a genuine effort to make sure you feel safe and secure and it's, like, true, then, like, it is a thing you have to work on.
Yeah, and it's like, and if you cannot handle it, like, if you're like, you know what, I can't, and I know people that, you know, cheating is something they can't come back from.
Yeah.
Like, and I respect that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, like, I've come back from cheating. But, like, I can't speak for myself because I usually give people way too many chances. But in my driven era, I'm not.
Okay, the past is the past. Yeah.
But because I've always been, like, a real big rooter for like the redemption story.
Yeah.
Like that's always been like, oh my gosh. I love a good damn redemption story, man. So but I understand people who are like, no, I can't deal with the repercussions of that. Like I'm out because that is the one thing that I cannot be in a relationship with somebody who did that to me. And I respect that.
Yeah.
But at least make that decision, like you said, where you're like, okay, I know that this is the absolute deal breaker. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, I'm sorry. Like, I know that you're sincerely sorry. Mm-hmm. I know that you probably won't do it again, but I can't deal with that. Mm-hmm. And that's my choice. And that's okay. But don't say you can deal with it and then not deal with it.
Yeah, and then carry it with you. Because also it's heavy on you to carry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Because, then you're getting yourself all emotionally charged with something that isn't happening, which is like...
Or is no longer yours to be like, react to.
You're just like breaking your own heart like over and over again. That's just too much.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think that just, like, changed my life when I learned about that.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I mean, even to this day now in my different relationships, whether it's friends, it's boys, it's family, whatever it is, like, if I sense myself red carding them, I think I'm the problem. Like, let me take a second. Because we talked about this. We forgave him. Like, I'm not going to bring up that bitch that's like, well, oh, is Jessica coming? Because Jessica, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that. And I'm sure I've done it. I've totally done it.
I mean,
oh my God, I can name multiple occasions I've done it in college or in high school. Like, that's with immaturity, though.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a thing. It's something I think that comes with healing and growing. And they say, like, a trigger is, like, your unhealed parts of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what can you do to work on that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that just comes with just being aware and then doing the next steps to make yourself feel better and do better in that sense.
I agree. And even like piggybacking off of that, what's even worse than that is the disengagement, though, where like someone did something, you say you're fine, so you never actually address the issue, but you keep on doing like the subtle like digs at something or the passive aggressiveness, which totally ruins relationships because you never actually said, hey, you really hurt my feelings when you did this and this and this. So now, you know, like not closing the bathroom door all the way pisses you off.
Yeah.
But it's not really that that pissed you off. You know,
I think both guys I had on the podcast talked about that, how it's like the one guy was like, he's like, I'll literally be like in the drive-thru getting asking what type of cheeseburger you want. And then the girl's like, remember Becky? What happened, Becky? Like, and when you bring up shit, you're like, what the fuck? But that was not the context. So then they're also thrown off, and then we're mad when they don't know what we're talking about. But it's like, no, that was 6 months ago. That was 3 years ago. Like, it's good that they carried on. They don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's not still relevant.
I've had dudes happen that to me. they do that to me.
The other way around?
Yeah, the other way around. And that's why I call bullshit on so many things that guys say. I actually, okay, another tangent.
Let's
really
hear it.
Fast.
Let's hear it.
No, because like I said something at like a family function or whatever with this guy that I was seeing.
Oh, family function? Your family function?
No, his or family function.
Okay.
But it wasn't even, to be honest with you, I can't even remember what I freaking said. Okay. Because it wasn't even like
him.
That. I, to this day, I don't really know completely okay. because he never, ever fully said what bothered him.
Okay.
And, but it was like all the time when like we would go to his family functions later and he was like, just remember to like keep your mouth shut. And I'm like, what the hell? What are you talking about?
God.
Like what, why are you being so mean? And I've always been the person where like, if you want to pick a fight with me, I'm going to fight you.
Okay.
Like I'm not, I mean, I am like, yeah, I am not like, you don't talk to me some certain type of way, bro.
That's good.
Like,
yeah.
So I'll be in the car for the family function. She'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
In front of the
you got something
the
to
house?
Say? Say it with your chest. What you mean? Do you need to go somewhere? Like, what's going on?
Do we need a break?
What's going on? You know?
Like,
yeah. Like, what's going on? And yeah, so that just happened over and over again. And I was like, but I know it had. And then like he told me one time where like he was like, yeah, remember that thing you said like in front of my family? I was like, no, I don't actually. Could you tell me I said? I don't remember what I said. What did I say? I was like, did I hurt your feelings? Like what? I'm sorry. Like I don't remember what I said. And I don't like
to this day,
I don't even know exactly what I said. But it's really interesting because I know myself and I know it wasn't something that was like embarrassing to him. Like,
yeah, like you're not like an aggressive.
I didn't spill secrets. I don't disrespect people's parents or family.
Yeah.
So I know it was that. So I'm like, what the heck did I, like, what did you contrive?
Yeah.
Like, as something from whatever, like, what word did I drop that made you feel some type of way because of something else? I don't know. To this day, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons why it didn't work out. But on top of that, it was like, that was with everything though. Mm-hmm. He was so passive aggressive. And I was like, oh, bro, stop. Like, I was like being such a dude. Like, I was like,
it was a weird thing,
but I was like, dude, stop being such a bitch. Like, what the fuck is your problem?
Like, well, I think that goes for men being, well, I'm too masculine. I can't tell you where
I know, but I'm still going to be passive aggressive about it.
And then make her upset confused.
And make you, and make me confused. Yeah. And I don't like being confused.
Yeah, quite frankly. And that's a valid feeling to not want to be.
Yeah. You
and
know?
I think you just brought up something. I think it's crazy when, like, someone like us, I feel like we value communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's moments, like, I'm also, like, if someone has a problem with what I said, or if someone feels like something was said out of context or was not something that they agree with, then just tell, like, I'm open to a conversation.
Same.
And I'm also open to being wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'll acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I said that. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I would acknowledge it. I would do the next steps to be conscious about it in the future. Like, I am not someone who has that pride of like, I'm always right.
Right.
I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Like, never. So
no,
I think
I
that if anyone ever, like, especially I feel like with a guy and stuff too, because usually it's more vulnerable, for lack of better words, when a guy is like, hey, like, I didn't like when that happened, when you did that, you know?
I'd be like, oh, I'm really sorry.
I'd be like, wait,
I didn't
oh my
that.
God, I would
yeah.
never.
And that's,
and like, and I
yeah.
also, I'm like, thank you for telling me. Like, I validate.
No, I agree.
I don't know what's a safe space to tell me that I'm not going to get
mad
would, at you.
No, like, I would rather you, and I tell this people all the time, I would rather you scream in my face of why you're mad at me than pretend you aren't.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather, because at least then I know and we can go somewhere with that. I could be like, okay, I can tell you I'm sorry right now. Let's take some deep breaths.
And then you can actually be sorry.
Let's,
and, like, not like, just say
I,
it to let them be
yeah,
quiet.
I'd be like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Like, I did not mean to do whatever, you know. But, yeah, it's – yeah, I don't do well with the non-communicators. That is a good way for me to get gone real fast. Like,
yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, every time a guy does that, I'm like – I'll even tell guys. I'll be like – oh man, I even tell friends. I'd be like, "Listen, I'm getting an attitude from you right now, and I want you to tell me why you have an attitude right now." And I'll even like do the precursor of apologizing already. Like, I'll be like,
"Yeah,
if there's something that I did to you, I am very sorry. That was never my intention to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell me what that is so I can more elaborate on maybe what I was thinking when I said it or what I was thinking when I did it or something. And that way we can have a full-fledged conversation. But people don't like confrontation, though. And I'm okay with confrontation.
Yeah,
like,
I am too.
I am straight up okay with that, you know?
As long
like,
as it's a safe space, I'm totally.
Yeah. Yeah. But a way to get me to not be your friend or girlfriend or anything is to start treating me some type of way and then not tell me. Like, not talk to me. Mm-hmm. Just be, I hate that. Yeah. I hate that so much because I'm like, you better check your tone and then try again and get back to me.
And then they're going to be confused. Like, wait, is she catching on? Well, she should know. It's just very confusing.
I know. And I'm like, no, I don't like guessing and playing games like that. Like, just tell me.
Yeah.
And people get very uncomfortable, though, when you're like kind of brunting up forward like
agree.
That. So when you are the type of person, female or male, whatever, who's like, hey, listen, you did this and this. That really irritated me. I just want to tell you. They take that as you being mean.
Like you're attacking them.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you because I don't want to keep this harbored.
Yes. For
and
me.
Let it fester.
Yes.
Like I'm telling you, I want to get your side of it.
Yeah.
So that I don't think a certain way about you if I'm not accurate because I only have one perspective.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So can you let me know? That way we could talk about it. It's so weird how people take that. Like, honesty, they take it as an attack because they're so not used to it. It's crazy.
It.
I hate
especially
that.
When it's said in a helpful way. Like if you're sitting down, hey, just quickly, what did you mean by that? Because that actually made me feel upset, but I know you wouldn't want to hurt me. Like why? Why did you say that? You know, and then it becomes a thing. And then if they twist it on you, whatever, that also shows you what type of person that they are and how they communicate. And it's sometimes not the move if that's how they react to something.
Yeah.
But it's good to get that out of the way. Now you know, and then you can carry on. You know,
those people who just want to argue. No matter what you like, and you're like,
or
no,
I'm just
trying to communicate. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm literally trying to understand. Like, but
that
was a good talk.
That was so good. I know we are gonna wrap up. We did touch a lot of things. I was gonna ask you about non-negotiables, and you kind of already touched on a lot of them. But do you just to end more positively? Do you want to name like three like immediate green flags in
immediate
people?
Green flags.
Whether
in
it's
people.
A friend, a boy, a whoever, any relationship.
Honestly, how they treat their parents.
Okay.
Is a green flag for me. Like if they treat their parents like have a healthy relationship. Let me put it that way actually because I've had experience with people, men who did not have a healthy relationship with their mom. It was like their mom controlled their entire life. That's too much. We don't want that. But like having a healthy relationship with your parents is a really big green flag for me because I'm very family
oriented. I would add in siblings as well.
Yeah.
If they have.
Yeah. And like in general, you know, it's like having a good relationship with your family and if you don't have a good relationship with some of your siblings, like for a reason, like that's fine. But like respecting your parents, like because they're your parents and like that kind of thing. Like that's like, you know, unless they're abusive or something. But that's a whole nother like side note. But like in general.
And hoping it's a healthy, like a decently healthy
but like household. Like a person who respects their parents and has a decent relationship with their parents is a green flag all the way around.
Totally.
Because also a person who will say things to someone's face, not behind their back. Because every time someone tells me something about someone else, I'm thinking that maybe they're also talking shit about me.
Yeah, that's valid.
To them. So I would much rather, like, again, come back to open, a good communicator. Good communicator, whether you're mad or happy or like I said, I would rather you tell me, Amaria, I don't like you. I'd be like, okay, cool. Then I know that you don't like me.
Yeah, and then you know next moves.
So I'd be like, okay, do I like you? I don't know. I mean, let me think about that. Do I want to be your friend? Maybe I don't, and that's okay. You know, but...
Yeah.
So good communicator.
Yeah.
Good communicator. And then also the last – mine all have to do with like psychology-based relationship shit. Like it's like another one is a non-emotionally fueled person.
Ooh,
and that's a hard
that's
one.
So hard
but
to
this
find.
Is a major green flag. This is – oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. So the amount of people – which is kind of funny because a lot of them are men, that I've told when, like, they're arguing with me, I'm like, you're getting really emotional right now. You need to take a moment and think logically about this. And they get so mad. But it's, like, calling them out when they're just, like, the full front is, like, emotional, an emotional response instead of a thought-out response or, like, a, you know, a logical. Because so many people talk emotionally fueled instead of like being cognitively aware and
then
having
they
like
say
an
things
action.
They don't mean. It can lash out. It can get heavier.
And that don't make sense. And then that's like
I don't
what?
Like when you're at a high emotional high, and then you're like, well, fuck, we just said we hated each other.
I know.
And then in 5 minutes you're like, wait, I want you to come back. Like that's not healthy.
Dude,
that's a roller coaster.
I had a family member tell me that I should kill myself because they were so like going off. They were so emotionally fueled, and afterwards I had to ask them, be like. That like really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about that? Like, I hope you don't really
like,
feel that way.
Where did that come
yeah. And they're
from?
Like, no, I really don't feel that way. Duh. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, but like,
duh.
Yeah. Like,
like,
okay.
Oh, you're the dumb one. For
yeah.
Realizing
you know, I'm
that.
Like, yeah, but like, that's really cold to say. Like, damn.
Very extreme.
Holy shit. Yeah. You know, but yeah. So those people who can like take a moment, however long that moment needs to be, and be like, okay, I feel myself getting emotionally worked up. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to take a moment and get my freaking emotions in check and then respond. That is like something everybody needs to practice because you don't just like, you
and
aren't.
And that starts young.
Yeah.
Because I babysit a lot of kids and my whole life, you see them in a second go from 0 to 100 or 100 to 0.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that comes with how do we teach kids young and how do we have healthy households young? Like when they're growing up to know, like, no, you can take a minute, go sit in your little chair and breathe. Like,
and it,
do fucking breathing exercises.
Yeah, and it's okay to be upset. Like, that's perfectly natural to be upset about something, right? Like, but to take that moment and get your emotions in check.
Yes.
So you don't do, say, act out on something, on those emotions, and you actually think of what you're saying without just, like, spewing, just vomiting.
Yeah.
Like, word vomit. And, like, the Mean Girls are, like, word vomit. You know that scene?
Yeah, I do. That's funny.
I think about, yeah.
Yeah, I think I – so I'm an emotional person. I lead with my emotions usually in life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting better. But I definitely – I'm a Pisces sun and moon. So I blame it on my zodiac sign. No. I've my whole life, I'm like, very intuitive. Like, I really take things, like – and I process. I do a lot of thoughtful, like – processing of things, and I had to learn after high school. I'm like, I cannot be just yelling at my mom for, but that's like a bitchy teenager, you know.
Yeah,
but like, that was a thing. But I know that it did carry on, and like how I would be genuinely like, no, like fuck her, like I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, she just said to get home by 10. Like, that
like
deep.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I know myself. So I, especially in college, especially this past year, have been doing a lot of work. I'm like, no, you don't really mean it. You're just being emotional right now. And just take it a second.
And that's
and I think I've been doing a lot better at like holding it in, not holding it in when I'm like, but like
no, but I
like just knowing the time and the place, like going home, thinking about it, writing. I write stuff down. I do bullet points. I do like that's how I am able to clear my mind and have more of like a healthy like different POV, you know. And I think that's a really important one that not everyone is able to grasp right away.
Yeah. And also just, again, it kind of goes back into communication. Mm-hmm. By doing that, you become a better communicator.
Yeah.
You know, because you say what you mean and you mean what you say.
And you're aware of it.
You're 100%. Not, you know, just, for sure.
Yeah.
No, those are my, those are three,
great.
Right?
Those
three,
are
right?
Those, those are really good. They all in the same realm.
Yeah.
Kind of flow.
And that's my biggest thing, man.
Which is amazing. We are going to wrap up, but I do want to leave you space. Do you have any questions for me? And if you don't, that's okay.
I would totally come back on again, though, for psychology things.
No, yeah, I would like to do a separate one. I asked you more, like relationship psychology, but maybe we can talk later and do, like, a more, like, individual psychology.
Yeah,
and,
that's
like,
cool.
How we project to other people, too.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
That was super helpful. And we can talk more about relationships, too.
Oh, yeah.
No, but this is, like, a good little sneak peek, and then maybe we'll get some questions of, like, more things people want to hear.
Yeah, maybe. No, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you! Yeah! Well, I just want to say, also, quick, two little plugs. So, Amaria and I are also both on a podcast. We're guests on a podcast called In My Opinion, IMO. I made a post about it already by the time this is out. It came out on Sunday, so it's Tuesday. It's not Tuesday, but we're just... so this is out. It's gonna
you
have
be
out
like, where the hell am I?
To me. You were like,
Lord have mercy.
So check out Amaria and I on YouTube. We are on the In My Opinion, IMO podcast. I made a post about it on the pod page, so go take a look. And support those guys over there also being fun creatives, podcasters, all that stuff. And then Amaria and I also guest starred on our own episodes of the Dive web series. Lots of love to that whole
that was so much
community
fun.
And all that fun
them.
Stuff.
That's so great.
It's also the link in my bio to go watch the whole series. They're on Instagram, the Dive Web series. Go follow them and support every few weeks. There's fun stuff going on with them, different episodes and everything. So share all the love to all of our creative community.
Yep.
And thank you again so much for being here.
Yeah.
You know the drill, everyone. If we can do the liking, the subscribing, the following, the sharing, all the love, please, please, please. It means the world to me. And I am just so happy to continue this journey with all of you. I will see you when we are on to the next episode next week. Bye.